Hashtag KC Soccer Meets. Only on KC 107.7.
Welcome to another exciting edition of KC Soccer Karma on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson. Today, we are starting the year with an interview with Yehia Duplessis from JDP Practice, and we're going to be discussing all things burnout. I feel like this is a massive conversation that we need to have going into the new year, because we need to identify and manage burnout when it happens, and we need to also look at a way to prevent it. And I think at the start of the year, this is the best time to speak to a professional to discuss all of this so that we are prepared for 2025. But for now, we're going to take a break, we're going to listen to some music, and we'll see you shortly.
This is Casey 107.7.
And welcome back. So we're speaking to Yehia Duplessis from JDP Practice. Thank you for joining us today. To start, could you share a bit about yourself and your role at the company you work at?
Hi, Connor. So my name is JG Duplessis, and I am an educational psychologist working for the WCED, and then I also work with JDP Practice in Worcester. So a bit about myself, I completed my master's in psychology with Stellenbosch University, and then I did my thesis in the psychological well-being of parents raising a child with autism spectrum disorder. And probably the reason for that was just that mostly people just focus on the child with ASD and not often on the parents, you know, who have to deal with the child with ASD. And then other things that I do is I do a lot of therapy with kids in schools, other psychotherapy with addictions and, you know, couples therapy and stuff like that. I also do subject and career guidance, psychoeducational assessments, and yeah, then I also started doing some psycholegal work, which is very intriguing for me, so I enjoy that a lot. And that's me. And then on a part-time basis, me and a very good friend of mine, we have a band, Platteland Donkey, so I do that for fun. So we make a lot of music. And that's it, I think.
It's so awesome to hear of, you know, people with a well-rounded life. I like to say a well-rounded life because, I mean, like we said offline, I'm a problematic workaholic. So my work has almost become my everything.
Yeah.
And it's taken, since becoming married, it's taken time to go and find those balances over time. And a big thing that I wanted to discuss today was burnout, because last year, for me personally, and with a lot of people I know, that we struggled with burnout. And 2025, I feel like, needs to be something where these, you know, every year issues that we have, some of these things need to stop happening, or, you know, we need to start like managing it better. And I thought, you know, we're starting 2025 well, let's talk about burnout. So I wanted to start with, if you could just explain briefly what burnout is and what is the difference between being stressed and exhaustion.
Okay, so there's a lot, in Afrikaans to say it's a mondful. So there's a lot of things, and I think, first of all, so we want to have a balance in our life, right?
Absolutely.
We want to have a good balance. So the fact is, if we are workaholic or something, which a lot of people might be, we might also like neglect other obligations, you know, which is important to family. And so that's why you should always ask yourself, you know, what is the main reason that I'm doing what I'm doing? What am I doing it for? So if a client comes to see me, I always ask them, what are you working towards? You know, if you are leaving drugs, are you leaving it just because of nothing, or are you doing it for your family or whatever? They have to tell me. I don't guide them. I don't want to guide them as much. And I think a lot of the times when it comes to work as well, you said you're a workaholic, but you should consider, you also mentioned that your wife said, okay, Connor, just wait until after Christmas, you know, at least. Because it's family time, you know, and there's people who want your full attention. They want to spend time with you as well, and you've also got to be present in that. So the big difference is that I can use depression as an example. Yeah, so I think maybe I'll start off by explaining depression and then the difference between depression and burnout.
Yeah.
So maybe a lot of people can relate by what they felt like last year, or maybe are still feeling some wounds of last year going into the new year. So depression is a low mood, a low interest level, appetite change, a sleep change, low energy level, worthlessness. Basically, it's usually having problems with anything in life that used to make you feel good before, right? Now, that can also be chronic depression. It might be because of situations, but basically, your mood has now dampened. You know, it's down. Whereas burnout has three main criteria, and that is exhaustion. So it's emotional exhaustion more than physical. Cynicism, so you feel detached from yourself. And inefficiency. And a lot of the times, it's that feeling when you sit in front of the laptop or something and you know you have so much to do, but you don't know where to start and you just feel overwhelmed. It's that feeling. So it's emotional exhaustion in response to a prolonged stress level, feeling like you're going through the emotions every day, and a reduced sense of personal accomplishment. And maybe we can also speak about how you can manage your anxiety levels, because a lot of the times burnout stems from something like anxiety, and managing that feelings, which you don't always know, because you don't know how to start, where to start, and even writing down a list of things that you want to do might feel overwhelming for you, you know, and looking at that list and seeing, oh crap, I still have 10 things to do today, and where am I going to start, and how am I going to finish everything today.
Yeah, that's so true, because I mean, like, for example, my wife and I are very different people, which I love to bits, because I am very target focused and she's very people orientated.
Mm.
So I love the fact that we're different and we handle things differently, because we balance each other perfectly in that way. Mm. That's when I think that's how God intended us to be. But when I look at it, when there's some massive task that I have to do, I usually break it up into 10 pieces, because I grew up learning that when you see a mountain, you break it up into rocks.
Mm.
Because it's easier to take one rock than it is to move a mountain. So I think that's where people are struggling, or were struggling, or are struggling in this new year with anxiety, is they just see a mountain instead of a bunch of stones that they need to remove.
So I think that's the thing about anxiety, is that you go into something like the fight and flight response. I sometimes tease my mother and I would always tell her, listen mom, what would you do if you swim in the ocean and a shark comes? And I said to her, like, me and my dad would probably, like, you know, try and figure out a plan of how to swim away from the shark. My mom would just be like, okay, take me and take me now, you know. So she would just be like, okay, I give up, you know.
This is it.
And she would put her hands in the air and everything. And I'm just teasing, because my mom is obviously going to listen to this, so I'm making a joke about it. But it's that feeling of you wanting to do something, but you feel so stressed, so you just give up. So, and it's very difficult for people that's practical and solution orientated to understand this from people that's more emotionally inclined.
Absolutely, I feel you there.
Yeah, so we have different personalities and different strong points. So a person that's not as anxious and more practical, but maybe emotionally more detached, they would still be fine. But a lot of the times, people in our industry where I work, psychologists, social workers, teachers, who work with people a lot, and they have to be emotionally present, they struggle a lot with burnout, you know, because they have to be emotionally present. There's a lot of things going on. But I've personally found, like, being so involved with stuff that I sometimes feel like I don't know where to start and I don't know how to start. And you know, and then I would rather just sit and do nothing, watch TV or something, instead of just doing one thing. And I try, when I work with clients, just get them to do one or two or three things, you know. Because if you look at that list of 10 things, it might be impossible to get everything done in one day. So you've got to start. And I like what you said about having your goal and then maybe breaking it down into 10 steps. And it brings me down to that why, how principle. And I don't know if listeners don't know about it. It's something they speak about, a lot about in business. You've got to have a why and a how when it comes to vision. So your why is your end goal. It's where you want to end up. Why do I want to go overseas? Why do I want to build this business? You've got to have a strong motivation for what you want to do. But the how is then how you go about doing it. And that's where you have shorter and more long-term goals. You've got to make it practical for yourself. So I spoke to a person earlier in this week, and he has a business. And I said to him, you've got to write down goals. He said he's tried it before in the past and it didn't work. So I'm like, so you're busy building this business, but you don't have goals. So what's going to make it work this time? I said to them, "This obviously you maybe didn't revise your goals. Maybe you didn't do it right. Then obviously you're not going to achieve all your goals, because some goals are more realistic. Others are going to be more unrealistic. But you've got to start by pushing yourself. And then you've got to maybe have an accountability partner you can speak to, and you've got to revise your goals often, you know, and that's where the how comes in, how you go about doing it. Me and my mate that also plays in the band, we also sit together from time to time and speak about our goals, you know, and keep each other accountable and encourage each other. And I believe it's very important. And I don't always get to hear from him what I want to hear from him. Sometimes he's very hard on me and me on him. But that's friendship, you know? So,
yeah, look, the thing is, you know, there's a massive stigma on this whole, you know, January resolutions or New Year's resolutions that come into play. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily do any New Year's resolutions, but I do set upon myself goals. And what I do is, from a personal level, is I review them every 3 months. So I review whether that was a reasonable goal or an achievable goal. Because we have like these impossible goals, but I get a bit depressed when I don't achieve those goals, because I'm very objective and goal orientated. So by reviewing it, I go, maybe this isn't something we should do next this year, maybe it's something we should do next year, but we can prepare towards it. But I really want to touch on what are the early stages of burnout, because we're approaching the new year and some people went on holiday, other people, like your retail sector, they're not even close to holiday, they may be having a holiday some other time in the year. What are the early stages of burnout?
Okay, so there's a few different areas. So I'm going to break it down into 5 different areas. And I'll first start by naming the areas and then I'll give you a breakdown of it. So obviously there's emotional signs, physical signs, behavioral signs, cognitive signs, and relational signs. And that's basically the 5 things in our life that dominates us mostly. So maybe you'll fit into some of the categories, or maybe you'll fit into all of them. But emotionally, it would be feeling overwhelmingly stressed, or the anxiety that we spoke about, being irritable or frustrated, cynicism, detachment, loss of motivation, emotional numbness, you know. You might also feel like, I don't have the same amount of empathy that I used to have for people, like if teachers, for instance, you know, I don't feel as empathetic towards children that I used to, and I'm not myself, you know. So the cynicism there is, listen, I can feel I'm not myself, but I don't know how to become myself again. How do I find myself in all of this? And then the physical signs, it might be that chronic fatigue, you know, even after resting, still eating healthy. It might be that feeling like, listen, my iron levels are low, but I just feel tired all the time. You have sleep problems. Insomnia is the brain is constantly being busy. You don't go into a deep sleep because you are constantly thinking and working. You are frequently sick. You have a weak immune system. You have a lot of headaches. You are overeating or undereating. Yeah, and then just stuff like having bowel syndrome, sicknesses, nausea, stomach aches, you know, or other anything that's stress related. And then behavioral, you I have six things here that I wrote down. Decreased productivity, struggling to complete tasks, meeting deadlines, procrastination, you are avoiding or delaying activities due to a lack of energy, withdrawal from responsibility, so you detach from work, social obligations, increased use of substances like alcohol, drugs, or food to comfort or to relieve you from stress, poor work performance, so you make a lot of mistakes, so you have difficulty concentrating, and you just miss what you need to do, and you know there's a lot of coming in and going out and you don't always keep track of it, and skipping work or arriving late at work, so you're often absent without having valid reasons. And then cognitively, difficulty concentrating, so that doesn't necessarily mean you have ADHD, which is also fine, because I have ADHD and I worked on it for, I went for help about 7-8 years ago and it really made a big difference in my life, but sometimes it can also just be you feeling cognitively fatigued, you know, so difficulty concentrating, memory problems, so you forget about your deadlines, appointments, and then you have a negative thought pattern. You know, so you're always pessimistic or almost always pessimistic, you know. So I'll explain about it later. I'm giving a lot of info now. And then relational, so you're often in conflict with other people, and it can also be miscommunication or lack of communication, isolation, and then a loss of empathy. That's a lot of signs. And like I said, it doesn't have to be all the signs, but that's just some of it.
Yeah, I think it's so important for us to know the signs. And you know what? We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music. And then when we come back, we're going to actually touch on the causes, because that's where the next big thing is. We'll see you now.
This is Casey 107.7.
Welcome back. We're once again speaking to Yehia Duplessis. And so we're going to be discussing briefly the causes of burnout, because we're also a bit running short on time. And I do encourage that everyone should listen to next week, because we will be having a part two. But Yehia, I want to know, in your experience, what is the most common causes for burnout in the workplace today?
Yeah, so there's a lot, but I think I have six main areas, and that basically has to do with your workload, which is usually the primary one, the amount of work that you have, your sense of autonomy. You know, that's also what you work towards. If you look like something like Maslow's hierarchy, you want to have that self-autonomy and stuff. Reward recognition, and you would be, people would be interested to know that the reward recognition doesn't have to do with gifts and stuff. It's more the emotional recognition, you know, or being seen by your boss or by your head of department or something. Your community, do you feel fearful? Are you bullied? Are you, you know, well supported? Do you have a sense of belonging? Are you treated fair and equally, or is things unfair? You know, is somebody else getting a job that you worked hard for and you deserve more than they do? And then also the company's values, you know, do you feel like you can make a difference? Is it something that you feel like you can express yourself and be part of? You know, you only have so long that you have to work or can work, so you might as well just be part of something that you really want to feel part of.
So I think that's absolutely incredible, the way you described everything. And it's so awesome when you look in depth into it, because I think burnout is such a massive topic. It honestly is. And you know what? Coming into this new year, I think when I said I don't necessarily believe in New Year's resolutions, it's not to say that they're not good. I just think that we need to look back and go, what is realistic resolutions? Like, I don't want people to go and sign up for a 2-year contract at a gym, yeah, and they're only going to realistically be there for 2 months. Like, what would you say is a realistic New Year's resolutions to set?
The thing is, the subconscious mind actually goes on believing that they will actually join the gym and that they will continue the exercise. So for me, I don't know, necessarily like the with you as well, not New Year's resolutions. For me, I started by not drinking in April 2023, and it was one thing that I started doing, and I started doing it well. And then I started doing other things in my life, you know, starting to wake up in the morning, starting to go to gym. And it took time. So I think I saw a video on Tim Tebow where he explained the whole thing about goals and stuff and why it's unrealistic. So he spoke about the word passion and what does it mean if you go into the Greek or Hebrew word for passion. That means, you know, doing it even if it hurts, even if it's hurting, and making that sacrifices. And that's why people give up, because the moment it's sore and stuff, you know, they just want to give up. So for me, it's, you know, maybe identifying one or two things, you know, what changed this year, you know, what can I do different? So I would say, you know, set realistic goals for yourself, have an accountability partner, you know, work towards it. The why and the how is very important. But you've got to have that passion, you know, and start off by doing one thing well. It can be your own thing. Maybe just show yourself first that you can start by walking 3 to 5 times a week instead of going to the gym. Prove to yourself that you are worthy of a gym contract first. Prove to yourself that you can wake up and start doing it. You don't necessarily need a gym to exercise. And there's other things as well. Yeah, so
I agree with you 100%, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for your time and all your insight. We will be seeing you same time, same place, and I just want to say that there will be a part two, so I encourage you to please listen in, because we will be discussing prevention and management next week. Thank you so much. God bless.
Hashtag KC Soccer, KC 107.7.